from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Weekend Sports in the ATL.
With Chris Goforth.
A weekend warrior.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth hanging out on this Sunday afternoon, keeping you company 3 more hours here. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to hearing more from you coming up a little bit later on. We're talking about the Braves a minute ago. Dontrell Willis, who has made a nice transition to Fox TV with Major League Baseball, list his top 5 nastiest starting pitchers in baseball. Chris Sale of the Braves is number 5. Sale has been, you know, for as disappointing as the Braves have been offensively this year, man, Chris Sale has been a really, really pleasant surprise. So we'll talk more Braves coming up a little bit later on. We'll get some college football again later as well. Let's spend a few minutes here and let's talk about those Falcons for a bit. It's time for our 5 Falcons questions. We do it every week. Dom has got them teed up today. Dom, what you got?
Yes, sir. So, like you said, we have 5 Falcons questions I have for you here today, Mr. Goforth. First up, I want to talk about one of the big questions that the Falcons will be facing. Obviously, we know the cornerback room is a little thin. We know Jesse Bates is a stud. You paid him. Now the question is A.J. Terrell. What should the Falcons do with one A.J. Terrell long-term?
Yeah. Well, first off, can't believe it's taken us this long into the offseason to get to this, because I don't know that we've really talked about this here. I'll be honest with you. Guys, I don't think the Falcons have an option here. I think if you're the Falcons, you got to extend him. He is in a final year of his rookie contract, and there's a couple of reasons why I say I think you have to. Number one, I don't think you want to give A.J. Terrell up for nothing if you allow him to walk at the end of the year. Falcons haven't put much into the cornerback position. I mean, let's be real. They didn't do it this offseason. And I just, you know, the idea of allowing him to walk as a free agent and you get nothing just doesn't sound good to me. And I'm not sure that there is a trade market for him. One, given that it's a contract year, but number two, take a look around at the free agent cornerbacks that are out there. Our buddy Brian McFadden that you hear sometimes on 92.9 The Game, you know, BMAC has a podcast, and they talked about it this week about, look, it's a passing league now in the NFL, and you've got, what, 5 maybe guys that I would consider to be high-profile corners in this league, guys that have played it at a high level before that are out on the street right now that don't have jobs. So if somebody needs a corner, I think it would probably be a lot easier to go grab one of those guys than it would be to try to give up draft capital or whatever you got to give up to the Falcons to go get A.J. Terrell. And again, part of the reason why I say extend him is because I think A.J.'s played well enough. He was great in that 21 season. You go back to last year, he gave up 4 touchdowns, 508 receiving yards on 76 targets. But again, I don't see where the Falcons have any other option with him other than to keep him and extend him. And he's probably going to, you know, he's probably going to be a $10 million a year guy. I mean, that's about where it looks like the market would be for him.
Okay, all right, all right. So you brought up some free agents there, and, you know, they didn't really do a lot to address the cornerback room. But who are two current free agents that you feel are realistic for the Falcons?
So according to overthecap.com, the Falcons have $6.7 million in cap space. I'm not sure if you can get two guys that are going to help you at that price. However, when we talk about positions of need, we just talked about cornerback. Falcons have a need there. As I mentioned, there's a lot of proven cornerbacks that are without a job right now. Now, let's be honest. These guys are pretty much on the wrong side of 30. Patrick Peterson, Xavier Howard, Adoree Jackson, Stephon Gilmore. If you're the Falcons and you're willing to be patient and you're willing to wait, you may find a guy that is willing to take less money on a one-year deal just to keep playing and to try to earn a better contract next year. Maybe that's the best route to go with this group, is just wait them out and see if you can grab one of those guys on the cheap at the end of August. Pass rushers, maybe not the same kind of names at cornerback that are available, but if you're the Falcons, there's a couple of guys that I think you can't afford. Carl Lawson is one. Carl Lawson is probably somebody you can go grab at $3 to $4 million a year. Marcus Golden is out there at about that same price. I think those are two guys that are legitimate options for the Falcons. And they're two guys that have the ability to get after the quarterback a little bit, and that's what the Falcons need.
All right, all right, all right. I hear you. I hear you. So, talked about free agents there. Let's talk about players that are currently on the roster. Who is the most underrated player on the Falcons?
The guy that we don't talk about and we don't talk about enough is Caden Ellis. Because is there a guy for the Falcons that does more, gets more production, that gets talked less about than Caden Ellis? I mean, we talk about a bunch of these other guys on defense, and Ellis just goes out there every week and does his job. 122 tackles last year, 82 solo, 26 quarterback pressures, 6 quarterback hits, and 4 sacks. He was the perfect piece in Ryan Nielsen's defense, and obviously those two guys knew each other previously from their time in New Orleans. Let's see how he does in this new defense under Jimmy Lake. But, yeah, I think Caden Ellis totally goes under the radar and is, for me, the most underrated guy on this Falcons team. I mean, we've talked more this offseason about Arnold Ebiketie. We've talked about Troy Anderson. We've talked about those guys much, much more. Their names have been mentioned much, much more than Caden Ellis does. I think Ellis is coming off a better year than either one of those two. Well, obviously, Anderson was hurt biggest part of the year. But Caden Ellis, to me, very underrated. Not just by us here in the Atlanta media and by fans, but I think maybe across the NFL for the job that he has done and continues to do. So that's my thought on that, is it's Caden Ellis.
I'm not mad at that. He's definitely someone who does a good job, and I, like you said, I don't typically hear his name get a ton of praise. He kind of is just a guy that goes under the radar. So
yeah.
I like
yeah.
that one. All right. So, like you said, you know, it's list season. It's all this other stuff. USA Today, Touchdown Wire, predicted that the Falcons would go 9-8. Is that too high, too low, or just right?
Probably just right. I think the Falcons have got to be somewhere in that 9-8, 10-7 kind of record. I think Vegas, last time I looked, and this was this was a while ago, and I don't know if it's changed or not. I know the odds to win the Heisman Trophy changed this week, which is strange, that so much money got put on Dylan Gabriel of late. Not sure what bit of information or whatever changed that, but 9-8 sounds about right to me. Vegas had the Falcons at 8.5 wins. So USA Today obviously thinks the Falcons do a little better than that. the NFC South is weak. Let's be honest. You're not going to have to win 13 games to win the South. Nine, probably going to be enough to win it, honestly. And I think the Falcons have done enough on offense to be able to win games. So, yeah, I'm going to say USA Today is just right with where they have the Falcons.
I'm looking at their schedule now. I'll say this is a little too low. I'll give the Falcons a little bit more credit. I think they can get up to 11. I could see an 11-6 season.
Well, that'd be good.
I could see it. I could see it. All right. And lastly, we got one more here before we get out of town. Have the Falcons done enough to overtake the Bucs in the NFC South?
Well, based on what we just talked about, I mean, I think obviously the answer is going to be yes there. I've talked about it all summer here on the weekends. The Falcons have what you hope turns into a much more explosive offense. They've gone from Arthur Smith, the two tight end, run heavy. They've gone to something that should put more points on the board, something a little more of a McVay type of offense. They've upgraded the quarterback position. I think Kirk Cousins is a massive upgrade over what we've seen the last 2 years. So, yeah, I think the Falcons have done enough. I think there will be a few times this year where they're going to have to outscore some people to win. But I think this team looks a lot better, and I feel like I've got a lot more knowns on this Falcons team than what I felt like I had going into last year. But they don't play these games on paper. You know, this isn't Stratomatic football or Status Pro football. I was more of a Status Pro guy as a kid, but if you played Stratomatic or Status Pro, you know what I'm talking about. You don't play those games on paper. You got to line it up and go play. But I feel confident in, I'll tell you one thing. I feel confident in saying this. The Falcons aren't going to lose 9-7 this year to those stinking Carolina Panthers. Brutal last year. Poor Mike Johnson and I had to spend an hour and a half after that game talking about a 9-7 loss to the god-awful Panthers. They don't pay us enough for that. Just let me tell you, they do not pay us enough. Dom, thank you, sir.
Anytime.
Speaking of those god-awful Panthers, Darren Grant from Panthers.com, he's going to join us. Had a chance to talk to him actually yesterday, so we're going to bring you that interview. We talk a little bit about the Panthers. A lot of change going on there. We'll get to that conversation next as we continue to preview the NFC South. Darren Grant from Panthers.com next. Chris Goforth hanging with you on this Sunday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
You will be shocked.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday afternoon as we continue to spend a little time talking about the National Football League, continue to take our look around the NFC South. Today, let's talk about the Carolina Panthers as spend a few minutes here with Darren Gant from Panthers.com. Darren, let's start with this question. The biggest question mark for Carolina heading into this season is what?
Well, I think that
to begin with, it was going to be, can they put a competent offense on the field? After last year, that was very much up in the air, and Dave Canales came in, and along with Dan Morgan, the new GM, kind of went step-by-step fixing all of last year's problems. I think, you know, when you look at giving up 65 sacks, 62 of them to poor Bryce Young alone, they went out and spent $150 million on 650 pounds worth of guard in Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis to kind of fix that problem. So I think that was step one, trading for Deontay Johnson so he'd have a target downfield. And then drafting Xavier Leggett in the first round is just a sign that they knew that was the problem and they had to go about and fix it. I think they've taken a bunch of steps to do that kind of stuff. I think at this point now what you got to wonder about is on the other side of the ball, where they're going to come up with pass rush. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney is not a like-for-like replacement for Brian Burns, but at the same time, he's an accomplished veteran. He's better against the run. I think it's safe to say than Brian's ever been, but he's not necessarily the quick-twitch sack guy that Brian can be. And I think that's very much a question. They went out and signed DJ Wonnum, but he hadn't been on the field yet, and everything else is a question mark. So, you know, they took those steps to fix the offense. I think on the other side of the ball, they've still got a significant amount of questions.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com. He's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline as we talk a little bit about those Carolina Panthers. Dave Canales comes in. It's year one for him. What's different around the Panthers with Dave Canales in charge?
Everything. Other than that, not a whole lot. It's brand new offense. It's a brand new energy. I think, you know, one of the things that makes it hard to know exactly what they got in Bryce Young, and I think most people still think he can be that guy that the entire league was ready to pick first overall last year. It wasn't just, you know, the Carolina Panthers who thought he was best quarterback in last year's class. I think even though Houston had a lot of success with C.J. Stroud, obviously, last year, you know, they would have picked Bryce first overall. I think it's important to remember that. So Dave comes in with a reputation for getting the most out of quarterbacks, whether it's Geno Smith, whether it's Baker Mayfield down in Tampa, and now he's got a job to do with Bryce Young in this offense. But everything is different. I mean, it's hard to lay everything that happened last year at Bryce's feet because the problems were systemic. I mean, the whole thing was broken. The offense just did not work, didn't make sense, wasn't coherent. So, I mean, the idea that it's all of any one person's fault is kind of ludicrous to me. That being said, Dave's got an energy about him. I mean, you know, you guys have been around the league a long time, too. If the last guy was old, the next guy's going to be young. If the last guy was fat, the next guy will be skinny. They're looking to flip this thing 180 degrees, so when you come out of, you know, Frank Reich and a bunch of old heads and experience and all that kind of stuff, what's the next staff going to be? It's going to be young. You know, Brad Idzik, the new offensive coordinator, is younger than his backup quarterback, Andy Dalton. I mean, that's, they're trying to bring an energy to this thing. They're trying to bring some degree of life to an offense that was just broken from start to finish last year. And I think, you know, the signs we saw through the spring were that they're taking those steps. I mean, he's an energy guy. Anybody that's spent 2 minutes around him knows that. He's an aggressive eye contact guy. He digs in wherever his feet are, and he is engaged in that conversation at that moment. So I think he's done a lot from a personality standpoint to breathe a little life into an offense that needed it.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What are the expectations for Bryce Young now going into year two?
I think you got to just get back to normal. I think get back to a stable place. I don't think anybody's necessarily planning on this being a top 10 passing game or anything like that. What they want to do is stabilize everything about this operation. I mean, and Dave has used the word stubbornness in terms of his running game. He wants to run. He wants to run regularly. So I think they're doing that to kind of raise the floor a little bit and to keep, you know, things a little bit more stable, give Bryce a better chance. I think if you can get Bryce to that middle of the pack kind of offensive showing, people would probably feel pretty good about things this year because last year was just such a train wreck. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It was a mess. And it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't any one guy's fault, but the whole thing was broken, and I think they just are trying to unbreak it at this point and get it back to normal. I went back and did the math tail end of last year. The league average in terms of points scored was about 21.9, right at 22 points a game. Carolina Panthers went 2-15, but if they'd have scored that league average 22 points in every game and no more, they would have finished 8-9 and would have gone to the playoffs last season ahead of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who they beat in a couple, or they lost to in a couple of low scoring games. So I just think they want to get back to somewhat normal and just try to get that offense regular again.
If the improvement from Bryce Young isn't there, would Carolina be back in the market to draft a quarterback next year?
Too soon to say about that. I mean, I think that, you know, that kind of speculation is natural. I mean, this anymore in the NFL, there's no long-term projects. You've got a couple years to prove something. I mean, look at the pace they've blown through coaches in the last few years. It's not a patient business anymore, and that's not just in Carolina. So I think they want to see what this year looks like. They want to get things right. Again, they put steps in place around Bryce in a very systemic manner to get that offensive line shored up, to get him some more targets on offense, to beef up the run game with those two big guards. You know, they go out and take Jonathan Brooks, who's not a immediate contributor because of that ACL last year, but he's a big-time back. And they want to just get things right around Bryce. So I think if it all goes to seed, who knows? I mean, anything's on the table, obviously, but I think they've been very careful to do things in a certain way this offseason to kind of give themselves the ability to judge him fairly.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, talking about the Carolina Panthers as we continue to preview the NFC South here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You've got a new head coach in Dave Canales, obviously an offensive-minded guy with an offensive background. He's bringing in a young offensive coordinator that has worked under him now for a long time. You mentioned a new offense. Can you give us an idea? What do you expect it to look like?
I think they're going to run it a lot. I think they're going to try to run, try to be normal, try to set up some play action, let Bryce move around a little bit off of play action. I mean, those are things he was good at Alabama. So I think it makes sense to try to get back to some of that. But if you look at the way Tampa Bay played offense last year with Baker Mayfield, another guy who's not the tallest quarterback the league's ever seen, you know, similar from a skill set standpoint, and I think what they tried to do was run the ball consistently, if not well, and then let Baker go over the top. Now, it helps having a Mike Evans, and the Carolina Panthers do not have a Mike Evans, but they got what might be a couple of Chris Godwins. I mean, I think with Deontay Johnson, with Adam Thielen, there's a couple of intermediate targets that you can do some things with. Now, again, getting Leggett greased up and going, he's your downfield guy. He's the guy who could turn into your, you know, DK Metcalf type or Deebo Samuel type, somebody who's going to get downfield a little bit. And I think that's what they want to try to do. But this thing's going to be built around running the ball, and that's good news for Chuba Hubbard. I mean, he is a guy who is plainly, to put it plainly, worked his way into becoming a starting running back in the NFL. He used to not be very good at catching passes at all. He stands around after every practice on the jugs machine for 20 minutes with Tommy Tremble and just gets after it. And he's worked his way to being that kind of back. So I think they're going to be traditional. I think they're going to try to be stable, but it's going to be, you know, kind of a, if you remember, get back into your history, you know, when Dan Henning was the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, when they had Stephen Davis and Deshaun Foster, that opened up a lot of stuff for cats like Steve Smith and Mohsin Mohammed downfield. So I think that's kind of the theme of what they want to try to do. And it's all based on giving Bryce a chance.
Xavier Leggett was slowed some this offseason, a little bit of a nagging injury there. Do you expect him to be a full go when training camp opens?
Yeah, if you look at all the workout videos that these cats post online on the social medias, he sure looks it. He is a guy, and again, he kind of got a little tight in the hamstring one day during OTAs, and you know, Canales kind of laughed, and he said, you get rookies out here, They want to show off a little bit. They want to show these vets how fast they actually are. And, you know, we know from watching him at South Carolina and watching him work out in the pre-draft process, he's a guy with top-end speed. So if he is well and every anticipation is that he's going to be, then he's got an opportunity to make some plays early on.
Was it a surprise that Carolina gave the extension to Derrick Brown and not Brian Burns?
Nah. I mean, the Brian thing had kind of run its course. They had tried to extend him for a year and a half, basically, and it wasn't getting anywhere. I mean, the gulf between what a guy thinks he's worth and what your boss thinks you're worth is often different, and that's, you know, kind of what you got to at this point. So with Brian, it just kind of ran its course. So now, you know, the Giants were eager to make the move and pay him that kind of money. The Carolina Panthers weren't necessarily. So Brian's a talented guy. I mean, I don't know that he's necessarily put it together to the capability that he's got, because physically he could be one of the league's absolute best pass rushers. And we've seen flashes of it. I mean, you guys saw it in the opener down there last year with a sack and a half in week one. Brian's that kind of guy who can get after it. I hope for his sake he puts it together on a regular basis in New York. Hardworking kid, good kid. But with Derrick was just dominant every single week. I mean, he set a NFL record for tackles by a defensive lineman last season, first man ever to go over 100 tackles from that position. He is active. He's a great run stopper. And here's the thing about Derrick Brown. When they run sprints during OTAs, he's always at the front of the line. And Dave Canales has used the line, and I believe it. You're in a good position when your best players are also your hardest workers, and that's what Derrick Brown is. So I think Derrick is a guy they were happy to give all that money to because he's a tone setter for an entire roster.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com, finishing up with him as we talk about those Carolina Panthers as we head towards, we get ever so closer to the start of training camp around the National Football League. Darren, let's end with this. How many position battles do you feel like are up for grabs still going into training camp?
I think there's a couple. I mean, we'll see what that offense is going to look like in terms of the receivers and who exactly is going to sort out. I think they're going to use multiple looks with those guys, so they're going to put them together in different combinations. But I think early on, again, at running back, it's Chuba Hubbard's to begin with. Once Jonathan Brooks is healthy, I think that's going to be an open question, and he's a guy they're going to want to use. But to start the season, especially with Brooks coming off that ACL, Juba's the guy going into the season. So I think that takes care of itself. They've got some question marks on the other side of the ball. I mean, who the pass rusher is going to be until Wanham gets back on the other side of Jadeveon Clowney. And, you know, I think they've got some guys like DJ Johnson, like Amari Barnes coming off an injury of his own. He got a lot of young guys who they're kind of wondering if he can step up and become one of those. And you know, we'll see how that works out. I think that's probably that outside linebacker position, something they're going to continue to look at over the course of the offseason. And every time somebody gets cut or, you know, somewhere else, the Carolina Panthers are first in line for waivers. So I imagine they're going to exercise that right all offseason.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com. Darren, appreciate the time as always, man. Look forward to catching up with you again when the Panthers and Falcons meet. It's not going to be long. It'll come quick.
It sneaks up on you, don't it?
It sure does.
Gang. Let's get back to work.
It sure does. Darren, appreciate the time. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, man.
Darren Gant, Panthers.com. He's been with us here on our WadeFord.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Stay with us. We'll come back. We'll have a look at our NFL notebook. We'll do it next.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
What are you doing this weekend?
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Chris Goforth in on this Sunday. Continuing to talk about the National Football League. We'll keep these going for at least a little while longer. We'll play a little game of fill in the blank about the 2024 Atlanta Falcons. So make sure you stick around for that. We'll get to your calls in about 20 minutes or so. Garrett Chapman from 92.9 The Game, who also covers Georgia Tech for 24/7. He'll join us in about 40 minutes from now. We'll talk some SEC. We'll talk some ACC with him as well. So all that is coming up. It's time for our NFL notebook. We do this every week. We always spend an entire hour talking Falcons and the NFL, and we've focused heavily on the Falcons and the NFC South so far. So let's kind of stay with that. How about a little audio to kick us off? This is Tampa Bay running back Rashad White. He was on Sirius XM this week, and he was asked if Tampa can carry the momentum from last year into this year. Here's Rashad White.
The biggest thing was with Jason Light and Coach Bowles and the whole organization, the Glazers, getting the guys back that we needed back, you know, our veterans that we needed back. And, you know, obviously that was a huge step of stone. And then every one of them back of us just going through offseason, like workouts and training, and a good amount of the guys being there, even some of our older vets being there practicing with us, and the camaraderie and the chemistry that we've been building. So obviously that's huge. And then our just team, our whole demeanor, what we, you know, made of, like we're underdog team, it's okay. Like you said, we surprised too that nobody still gives us respect. But at the same time, you in life, you got to take it, you got to earn it. So yeah, we won division 2 years in a row. And yes, you can't take none of that for granted. It's the NFL, you know, the best of the best. But when I look at it too, at the same way, like I feel like, you know, we got to win more. You know, like they said, sometimes you just got to win more than barely winning. And yeah, we didn't. For us, we feel like yes, we barely won it. But our ceiling, we feel like we can do more and win more. So I say yeah, it's been huge carryover and things like that. And I got us winning a great amount of games, all honesty, and I got us clicking.
Well, he's right. They did barely win it. I mean, they did. But again, I mean, look, if you tell me Tampa is the favorite after winning it the last 2 years, I'm not going to argue that. I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier in our five Falcons questions here. The NFC South is weak, man. Tampa, the Falcons, New Orleans, they all feel like, I think coming into this year, every single one of those teams feels like this is their year, like they've got a chance. You look around at the rest of the NFL right now, I think every other division in the league has at least one team who feels like they're capable of winning the Super Bowl. In the NFC South, it's just kind of like, well, if we can win the division and get into the playoffs, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Falcons getting back to the playoffs, and that constitutes a successful season given where they've been. Tampa and New Orleans, I think they look at it the same way. And I think how those three teams fare against each other this year, that little round robin, if you will, of the three of them playing against each other twice is going to determine who wins this season. Carolina will be – look, I think the Panthers are going to be good again defensively, and they may be better on offense. But I think, you know, you heard Darren Gant say it a minute ago, they are behind these other three. I don't think there's any question about that. Peyton Manning, former Colts quarterback, Bronco quarterback, he was asked this week if he could throw to any wide receiver in NFL history, who would it be? Here's what he said. This is Peyton Manning from earlier this week.
You know, I got to play with a number of them in the Pro Bowl. I got to play with Jerry Rice and Tony Gonzalez, so I guess that eliminates them, you know, playing with Marvin and Reggie and Demarius and Emmanuel in real football. One, Raymond Berry, old Baltimore Colt, going with Raymond Berry. Got to spend some time with him. He was a true master of his craft, the way he studied film, the way he studied precision route running. Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry had great timing. I think it'd be Raymond Berry.
First off, before we get into this, let me just say how much I love the fact that Peyton Manning has – and look, he grew up around the game, right? I mean, his dad was Archie. His dad was quarterback in the Saints when he was, you know, when he was a kid. But I love the fact that Peyton Manning has such a huge respect for those that came before him, for the older generation – in the NFL, And, you know, I think a lot of that probably comes from, you know, growing up around it and you know, the early 80s when Archie was still playing and he was a kid, that, you know, as well as, you know, hearing his dad talk time and time again about things over the years. I think it's really cool, though, that Manning kind of has that, you know, that look. And if you've seen any of the stuff that his Omaha Productions group has done, the Peyton's Places, if you've watched any of that, they do a really nice job of kind of celebrating the history of the NFL. And I love the history of the NFL. I mean, I could listen, you turn on NFL films, give me some John Facenda, and I am in it's like I'm in some sort of comatose state and can't move while that stuff is on. I love it. All right. I got a question for you, Dom. You ready?
Yes, sir.
If you could play catch, all right, it doesn't have to be a wide receiver, because I'm saying a game of catch because, I mean, I'm not throwing a 30-yard out to Jerry Rice
Peyton's throwing it
or, you know, to Raymond Berry. But if you could play a game of catch with any current or former NFL player, living or dead, who would it be?
This one's easy for me. Me being a Steeler fan, my favorite player of all time and growing up was Troy Polamalu. So I've had the opportunity to see him. Like, I've gone up to Latrobe when they do their training camp and stuff like that, and you know, fans can see, and got a few autographs and stuff like that, which was fun. But if I could play catch with one player, it would be Troy.
See, that's funny that you said a defensive guy, because, and there's a lot of guys that would be on this list for me. But it would not just be about, you know, getting a chance to say, oh, I threw a ball to so and so, but it's about spending time with those guys, getting those stories.
Yeah.
And you know, I love the fact that you kind of went, I don't want to say off the grid a little bit and picking Troy Polamalu, but I think if I had to pick one, actually, I think it would be Lawrence Taylor.
It's not because a bad one at all.
I think, first off, you don't think LT's got some stories to tell?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Off the field? On the field? I mean, you know, and again, I think he's the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. And he's that guy for me. But, man, I could, you know, we can go on about, you know, Walter Payton, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, quarterbacks like Montana, Fouts. I mean, I'm going back to my childhood when my NFL fandom really started, and in some ways may have peaked, honestly. But I can go on for days about guys from the 80s and the 90s. But, yeah, I mean, it's cool that you said Polamalu, because, you know, I thought about this because it is kind of tough, because I'm like, man, who would I want to
– And, you know – I was going to say,
Lawrence Taylor.
You know what's funny? Even if I were to, like, limit it to an offensive guy, it wouldn't be, like – an immediate offensive name that a lot of people would go to, because, like, I'm going to be regional, so, like, I'm going to go with my fandom, and, like, so, like, offensively, it would probably be Devin Hester.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I would love to play catch with him and talk with Devin Hester.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool, man. I gotta admit, that's a pretty cool one.
Growing up, Troy and Devin were, like, two of my favorite players.
That's, you know, I did not grow up a Giants fan, but freaking Lawrence, I mean, the stories of Lawrence Taylor and watching him play was, and of course at that time, I mean, we didn't know, we knew some of it, obviously, but we didn't, you know, we didn't know all of the off the field stuff that he was into then either. But
yeah,
man, one of the coolest things. The coolest things about working at 92.9 The Game is when you get that opportunity, and I've been lucky enough to be able to talk to Dale Murphy, I don't know, probably 8 to 10 times, and Murph is my all-time favorite player, any sport, doesn't matter, it's Murph. And I've been lucky enough to be able to talk to Dale, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 times mm-hmm. in working here. That's cool. As a kid growing up and just being absolutely obsessed with sports, And I'm a reader, still am. But man, I used to wear out the little, you know, you got to be a certain age maybe to understand this, but we used to get these little things called the Weekly Reader.
Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. And so the Weekly Reader would come with a little book order, and you could go, you know, you could go order like little paperback books. I have still got them on my bookshelf in my office. A couple of them on my bookshelf in my office at home because I won't get rid of them, but I would buy all the sports books, like as much as my mom and dad would let me buy.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was one called Great Quarterbacks of the NFL, and it had Ken Anderson and Joe Montana on the cover. So that tells you how far back. I mean, this is they were in Super Bowl 16 against each other, so this would have been, you know, probably 84-ish when I got this book. One of the guys that they wrote about in there was Steve Barkowski, the Falcons quarterback. Well, they tell the story about Barkowski when he was at Cal in college, that he could stand at the goal line and, you know, the story they told was he stood at the goal line and he could throw the ball to the opposite goal line in the air.
That's...
So, working here, I got the chance to meet Steve Barkowski.
Back to more Chris Goforth.
What are you doing this weekend?
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday. Continuing to talk about the National Football League. We'll keep these going for at least a little while longer. We'll play a little game of fill in the blank about the 2024 Atlanta Falcons, so make sure you stick around for that. We'll get to your calls in about 20 minutes or so. Garrett Chapman from 92.9 The Game, who also covers Georgia Tech for 24/7. He'll join us in about 40 minutes from now. We'll talk some SEC. We'll talk some ACC with him as well. So all that is coming up. It's time for our NFL notebook. We do this every week. We always spend an entire hour talking Falcons and the NFL, and we've focused heavily on the Falcons and the NFC South so far, so let's kind of stay with that. How about a little audio to kick us off? This is Tampa Bay running back Rashad White. He was on Sirius XM this week, and he was asked if Tampa can carry the momentum from last year into this year. Here's Rashad White.
The biggest thing was with Jason Light and Coach Bowles and the whole organization, the Glazers, getting the guys back that we needed back, you know, our veterans that we needed back in. You know, obviously that was a huge step of stone. And then every one of them back of us just going through offseason, like workouts and training, and a good amount of the guys being there, even some of our older vets being there practicing with us, and the camaraderie and the chemistry that we've been building. So obviously that's huge. And then our just team, our whole demeanor, what we, you know, made of. Like we're underdog team, it's okay. Like you said, we surprised too that nobody still gives us respect. But at the same time, you in life, you got to take it, you got to earn it. So yeah, we won division 2 years in a row. And yes, you can't take none of that for granted. It's the NFL, you know, the best of the best. But when I look at it too, at the same way, like I feel like, you know, we got to win more. You know, like they said, sometimes you just got to win more than barely winning. And yeah, we didn't. For us, we feel like yes, we barely won it. But our ceiling, we feel like we can do more and win more. So I say yeah, it's been easy. Carry over and things like that, and I got us winning a great amount of games, all honesty, and I got us clicking.
Well, he's right. They did barely win it. I mean, they did. But again, I mean, look, if you tell me Tampa is the favorite after winning it the last 2 years, I'm not going to argue that. I mean, you know, we talked about it earlier in our five Falcons questions here. The NFC South is weak, man. Tampa, the Falcons, New Orleans. They all feel like, I think, coming into this year, every single one of those teams feels like this is their year, like they've got a chance. You look around at the rest of the NFL right now, I think every other division in the league has at least one team who feels like they're capable of winning the Super Bowl. In the NFC South, it's just kind of like, well, if we can win the division and get into the playoffs, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Falcons getting back to the playoffs, and that constitutes a successful season given where they've been. Tampa and New Orleans, I think they look at it the same way. And I think how those three teams fare against each other this year, that little round robin, if you will, of the three of them playing against each other twice is going to determine who wins this season. Carolina will be – look, I think the Panthers are going to be good again defensively, and they may be better on offense. But I think, you know, you heard Darren Gant say it a minute ago, they are behind these other three. I don't think there's any question about that. Peyton Manning, former Colts quarterback, Bronco quarterback, he was asked this week if he could throw to any wide receiver in NFL history, who would it be? Here's what he said. This is Peyton Manning from earlier this week.
You know, I got to play with a number of them in the Pro Bowl. I got to play with Jerry Rice and Tony Gonzalez, so I guess that eliminates them, you know, playing with Marvin and Reggie and Demarius and Emmanuel in real football. One, Raymond Berry, old Baltimore Colt, going with Raymond Berry. Got to spend some time with him. He was a true master of his craft, the way he studied film, the way he studied precision route running. Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry had great timing. I think it'd be Raymond Berry.
First off, before we get into this, let me just say how much I love the fact that Peyton Manning has, and he grew up around the game, right? I mean, his dad was Archie. His dad was quarterback in the Saints when he was a kid. But I love the fact that Peyton Manning has such a huge respect for those that came before him, for the older generation in the NFL. And I think a lot of that probably comes from, you know, growing up around it and you know, the early 80s when Archie was still playing and he was a kid, that, you know, as well as, you know, hearing his dad talk time and time again about things over the years. I think it's really cool though that Manning kind of has that, you know, that look. And if you've seen any of the stuff that his Omaha Productions group has done, the Peyton's Places, if you've watched any of that, they do a really nice job of kind of celebrating the history of the NFL. And I love the history of the NFL. I mean, I could listen, you turn on NFL films, give me some John Facenda, and I am in it's like I'm in some sort of comatose state and can't move while that stuff is on. I love it. All right, I got a question for you, Dom. You ready?
Yes, sir.
If you could play catch, all right, it doesn't have to be a wide receiver, because I'm saying a game of catch because, I mean, I'm not throwing a 30-yard out to Jerry Rice
Peyton's throwing it
or, you know, to Raymond Berry. But if you could play a game of catch with any current or former NFL player, living or dead, who would it be?
This one's easy for me. Me being a Steeler fan, my favorite player of all time and growing up was Troy Polamalu. So I've had the opportunity to see him. Like, I've gone up to Latrobe when they do their training camp and stuff like that, and you know, fans can see, and got a few autographs and stuff like that, which was fun. But if I could play catch with one player, it would be Troy.
See, that's funny that you said a defensive guy, because, and there's a lot of guys that would be on this list for me. But it would not just be about, you know, getting a chance to say, oh, I threw a ball to so-and-so. But it's about spending time with those guys, getting those stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the fact that you kind of went, I don't want to say off the grid a little bit and picking Troy Polamalu, but I think if I had to pick one, actually, I think it would be Lawrence Taylor.
It's not because a bad one at all.
I think, first off, you don't think LT's got some stories to tell?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Off the field, on the field. I mean, you know, and again, I think he's the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL. And he's that guy for me. But, man, I could, you know, we can go on about you know, Walter Payton, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, quarterbacks like Montana, Fouts. I mean, I'm going back to my childhood when my NFL fandom really started and in some ways may have peaked, honestly. But I can go on for days about guys from the 80s and the 90s. But, yeah, I mean, it's cool that you said Polamalu because, you know, I thought about this because it is kind of tough because I'm like, man, who would I want to
– And, you know – I was going to say,
Lawrence Taylor.
You know what's funny? Even if I were to like limit it to an offensive guy, it wouldn't be like an immediate offensive name that a lot of people would go to because like I'm going to be regional, so like I'm going to go with my fandom. And like so like offensively, it would probably be Devin Hester.
Really?
Yeah. Like I would love to play catch with him and talk with Devin Hester.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's pretty cool, man. I gotta admit, that's a pretty cool one.
Growing up, Troy and Devin were like two of my favorite players.
I did not grow up a Giants fan, but freaking Lawrence. I mean, the stories of Lawrence Taylor, and watching him play was, and of course at that time, I mean, we didn't know. We knew some of it, obviously, but we didn't know all of the off the field stuff that he was into then either. But
yeah,
one of the coolest things about working at 92.9 The Game is when you get that opportunity, and I've been lucky enough to be able to talk to Dale Murphy, I don't know, probably 8 to 10 times. And Murph is my all-time favorite player, any sport, doesn't matter, it's Murph. And I've been lucky enough to be able to talk to Dale, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 times mm-hmm. in working here. That's cool. And as a kid growing up and just being absolutely obsessed with sports, and I'm a reader, still am, but, man, I used to wear out the little you got to be a certain age maybe to understand this, but we used to get these little things called the Weekly Reader.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the Weekly Reader would come with a little book order, and you could go order like little paperback books. I have still got them on my bookshelf in my office, a couple of them on my bookshelf in my office at home because I won't get rid of them, but I would buy all the sports books, like as much as my mom and dad would let me buy.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was one called Great Quarterbacks of the NFL, and it had Ken Anderson and Joe Montana on the cover. So that tells you how far back. I mean, this is they were in Super Bowl 16 against each other. So this would have been, you know, probably 84-ish when I got this book. One of the guys that they wrote about in there was Steve Barkowski, the Falcons quarterback. Well, they tell the story about Barkowski when he was at Cal in college, that he could stand at the goal line and, you know, the story they told was he stood at the goal line and he could throw the ball to the opposite goal line in the air.
That's...
So, working here, I got the chance to meet Steve Barkowski. Got the chance to talk to him on the air. It's probably been 6 years ago now. But I got the chance to talk to Barkowski, and I got a chance to tell him about reading that story when I'm, you know, 10, 11 years old about him and my little book that I bought from the, ordered out of the Weekly Reader. And I asked him, I said, "Is that true?" And he's like, "Yeah. Yeah, that's true." He said, I could stand at the, you know, from one goal line, I could throw it to the other goal line when I was at Cal. And so that was like one of the coolest moments for me, having grown up, you know, watching that guy play every single Sunday for the Falcons and reading about him in the magazine and the, you know, the kids' books, and then people, that's just the coolest thing. Whenever people say, "What's the coolest part about what you get to do?" It's that. That right there is the coolest thing. Couple other things real quick. Bill Belichick is going to be on Inside the NFL this week, or this season, which is the, you know, it's on the CW now. I guess it came to the CW. I caught it a couple of times last year. That was the show in the NFL, for the NFL for a long, long time. This is the 48th year of Inside the NFL. It used to be on HBO. Lynn Dawson, Nick Bonacani. Now it's on the CW and a bunch of new guys. But doesn't feel as big as it did back in the day, because now, you know, we got 10 million NFL shows like that. But at one time, man, that was it. That's it for NFL Notebook this week. Let's get the focus back on those Atlanta Falcons. Let's play a little game of fill in the blank. I need you to fill in the blank for me. The 2024 Atlanta Falcons will be blank. You fill it in. Give us a call, 404-726-0929. You can hit us up on X at 929 the game at Crisco 41. The 2024 Atlanta Falcons will be blank. We'll get to your thoughts on it. We'll give you ours next. Crisco 4th hanging out on this Sunday. We get a little closer to an NFL Sunday. Sports Radio 929 the game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.